Holy Spirit said, pray. Pray in a spirit and dig them up. And as we began to dig up the holes and dig up the coffins, I began to see something glittering underneath the coffin. And I thought it was jewels or treasure or something. And when he began to pull out what was underneath the coffin, after the coffin was taken out of the ground, was glittering gold, the full armor of God that was purposely prepared and dressed for that person that was buried alive. And that person never got to put it on. Never got to put it on until someone went and dug them up. I'm telling you, we are in a critical season right now. Critical. Very critical right now. Intense. Where we've got to fight. The enemy's going to attack you in every way he can. Because he wants to get you out of position. He's going to try and cause you to give up. He's going to try and sway you. He's going to try and bribe you. He's going to do everything he can because he knows his time is short. He knows. And as the Lord began to give me this message tonight, I began to see so many correlations and connections of what's going on. And I can only share with you that you've got to endure all the way. You've got to endure the other all the way. When the Lord shared with me, because you know it's our responsibility to choose battles. When he shared with me the other day, he said, listen, I'm going to bring you those who are going to be in. And I'm going to remove those who are out. So you're either in or out. There is no in between. And it's happening all over right now. There are those who are never going to fulfill the will of God in their life. They've missed it. It's too late. There are many who are going to go home because they've lost purpose. They're just a drag to the body now. I'm telling you, that's how close we are. That's how close we are. I don't know the day or time, but I can tell you we are close. This is when God said that those who they would be calling good evil and evil good. It's happening. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know you've got a calling on your life? In this calling, there's guidelines, and I want to talk about some guidelines of calling, your calling. And there's 9 functions in your calling, and I want to talk about some of these things tonight. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I can still see those full armor of God glitter. Did you ever see, when the knights and the guys that jousted and so forth, you know, they had that glittering armor like, was that mesh? This was pure gold. It was just glittering. It was laying underneath the coffins. And when he lifted it up, it was the full armor of God. Just think about how many people never got the opportunity to wear the armor. Oh, hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Can we read this together, please? It's a guideline to your calling, 9 functions to your calling. For you see your what? Calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, do you think any one of these things represents you? Things that are weak, things that are foolish, things that have been despised? I probably met every category. So that no flesh shall glory. But to him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. There's two things that you must understand. It is very, very most important. The reason why you're called. The reason why you're called is to give glory to God. That he may take something that was nothing and make something out of nothing. Does everybody understand? So the first reason why you are called is to give glory to God. So that everything in your life, he gets the glory. He gets the glory. Go to Ephesians 4. How many of y'all been attacked lately? If you haven't been, remind me, I'll attack you after service. Glory to God. Well, I wouldn't want anybody to, you know, feel left out. Ephesians chapter 4. Start at verse 1. I therefore, am I the only one reading this or what? Has everybody got a Bible? Y'all got eyes? Hallelujah, use them. Remember, spirit means breath. You're not going to think the devil away. Hello? Come on, put a little oomph in it tonight, you know? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With what? All lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, the second thing that we must understand is that we must maintain an arena where we are walking worthy of our calling. Does everybody understand that? All right, so the first part of understanding that we must grasp that you've been called for his glory, then you must maintain that arena where you're walking worthy of that call. And then he explains it. Loneliness, gentleness, amen? Humility, not an arrogance, pride, or misuse of the calling, but an example of Christ through your calling. Romans 8. Two important factors you must understand. He called you for his glory. And you must maintain an arena where you are walking worthy of that call. In other words, don't take your call delicately. Take it seriously. And it's a time to be serious. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to whose purpose? His purpose, not your purpose. Aren't you blessed? Finally, it's not according to your purpose. It's according to his purpose. In verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified for his purpose. Now, his purpose better be your purpose now. So we are called according to his purpose and not our own. We've been predestined to fulfill this call and preparation for this call. So by fulfilling the call of his purpose, everything in your past is going to work to the good. That's the benefits of fulfilling your call. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter what's happened, all things are going to work to the good as long as you're fulfilling your call. Come on, y'all got this? If you're not fulfilling your call, your past is going to come up and cause you to stumble. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think we'll go to verse 2. Hallelujah. Verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So He's given us His divine power to fulfill the calling that we might partake of His divine nature. In other words, you can't do it. He provides everything. It's amazing how many people are still trying to do it, and they do it in the flesh. And when people do it in the flesh, they give themselves glory. It has nothing to do with what you can do. It's how much you're willing to yield. It's how much you're willing to yield. So we see here, God has already provided everything for me and you. It's already been predestined. In other words, it was UPS'd already. Before you were even born. It's been here waiting for you the whole time. When? When God chose to create, He sent out everything in preparation for you. Just been out there in the cosmos of not bound by space and time, but immediately as you came into the world, right as you ripped through from the unknown into the known, and God had prepared a name for you. He prepared a place for you. He prepared everything for you. And everything has been waiting for you just right now. Everything. Everything. In the beginning, when He began, everything was sent in preparation for you. Why? Because He saw everything that was going to happen. He's not bound by space and time. His whole function and purpose is because He created man, is because He loves them. He created them in His image and likeness. They blew it, they fell, and God restored. And even in that, He saw everything, so He had everything waiting for you. But see, the package wasn't in all the places you've gone. The package has been placed in one place for you. Why? So you can open that package and begin to fulfill your call. Everything is there for you now. In other words, if you're not in God's will, the package isn't there, is it? So He's got one specific place, and what I'm talking about is God's will in that specific place. It's like if you're on a if you're traveling, right? You go on a trip, you get that AAA map thing, or you got one of those doomahickeys that tell you what's what. What is it, GPS? GPS, just like UPS, you know. And it tells you where to go. Well, if you're following the will of God, you're going to find that the package that God has predestined for you, for the divine power and His divine nature to fulfill everything you need for the call that's in your life, begins to unfold. It begins to unfold. But see, when you're not in God's will, you're not following the UPS, whatever it is, the package doesn't fit the course. You get off direction. That's why sometimes we go, man, finally, do you ever get to a place where you realize this is where you're supposed to be? And you'll find it in your course of life, that there's certain places that all of a sudden, it's like something opens up and it's like, whoa. It's almost like a letter that God sent you. But it was post-dated, like 2,000 years ago. Go to Ephesians 4. You know, it's wild because when things begin to unfold, I want to share something quick with you. Yesterday, sometimes I go to the Y and work out, and for some reason I was lazy, and I didn't feel like going to the Y. My wrist was hurting and so forth, so I figured I'd just go work out a little bit. So I went around to the local gym, and when I walked in there, there was a woman, and I can tell that she was Eastern, and she was talking to somebody, and I just went and began to work out a little bit, and there was something in my spirit that almost connected with her, and I was thinking, maybe I was supposed to go share something with her, and I thought about something, whatever, and I was like, no, I'll just let it go, and I went to go work out a little bit, and next thing I know, she walks up to me, and she said, can I ask you something? And I said, yes. She goes, I don't know why, but I don't know why I'm talking to you. I look scruffy, haven't shaved, went worked out, I'm all smelly and stuff. She's like, I don't know why I'm talking to you. I'm thinking, I don't know why you're talking to me. No. She began to ask me some things, and she began to share with me some things that she was going through. And I began to search the spirit, and he said, tell her you've been waiting for her. Because, see, it's not me, it's him. And I said to her, I've been waiting for you. She began to share with me about oppression and things to that degree, and she said that she prayed. Of course, I said, well, who do you pray to? She said, God. I said, well, who's your God? She said, Allah. I said, that's the problem. And she looked at me. And she began to ask me some questions. I shared with her that Allah was not God. That you're talking to someone that had a personal visitation from the Lord. And I can tell you that Jesus is God. And I began to minister to her and share with her. And the Lord said, don't pray for her. Just impart in her. And we began to talk. She began to share with me about how certain things in her family, somebody died and she became oppressed, but it wasn't because the person died. I told her, it's because the spirit left that person and came into you. But I share with her, your Quran does not teach about casting out devils. It'll prevent you from knowing everything about the powers of darkness because it promotes the devil. She goes, I need to talk to you more. I said, yes, you do. And we said goodbye, and I know that we'll see each other again sometime. But see, when that divine position, but see, something's going to happen. It's like all of a sudden your spirit touches their spirit, and you know what's what. And it was almost like the Lord was saying, I want her. It's my child. I want her. I want her. And I share with her, she goes, well, what? She said something about, well, what's going on? I said, he wants you. He loves you. That's all he wants, is you. I share with her, Jesus is the God of love. He loves you and he wants you. He wants to love on you. I said, and I began, and the Holy Spirit gave me other stuff about her life and whatever. And she was just like, ooh, in other words, it was like the package was waiting for me there. And that's all I had to do was go and open it. And there was a letter from the Lord sharing, this is what you do. This is what you do. Does everybody understand this? Praise God. And I know it's happened to most of you in here, and then more than once. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 4, in verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That he what? Might fulfill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Everybody say, I'm a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning the anointing, hallelujah, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things and to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So if everybody's doing their part, if everybody's fulfilling their call, there's growth in the body, isn't there? But there's something that has to happen. And it's what many people don't like to do. And it's called be trained. That's what he just said. So that we may be what? Trained for the, we have to be what? Equipped to fulfill our call. You're not just going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and expect to go out there and be a free bird and fulfill your call. You won't. He doesn't work that way. He puts us in a fellowship. He puts us through Holy Ghost training, officers boot camp. Amen? Holy Ghost boot camp and officers training, right? You are being trained. We're all being trained. The training never stops. You're not going to get to step 42 when you started at 1 without training. You will not skip a step. Jesus will bring you back to fulfill each step, no matter what you think and no matter what you try to do. He will not send you until you are fulfilled and passed the training. I mean, everybody with me? So there is a training for the calling. It's a fitting as a part of the body. The body, of course, you know, is in the secular world, isn't it? So we need to fulfill and have the fullness of Christ in each and every one of us. And that's the anointing. In other words, nobody skips the training. But some never fulfill their call because of the lack of training. Are you with me? Some never fulfill the call because of the lack of training. Mm-hmm. Go to Galatians 4 while we're here. Start at verse 1. Y'all there? Wasn't too far. Y'all better lift your hands and get a drink so you can, you know, comprehend. Get it. We want the river of living water to fulfill us today and overflow us and drown us so we can get the revelation from the throne in Jesus' name. Amen. Read verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under what? Guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So you are first now, you are a child. You are a child of the Most High God. You're a king's kid. Amen? There wasn't any qualifications for that. None. He qualified you by dying for you. When you accepted his death and the price he paid, you repented of your sins, you automatically became one of his children. You were birthed from the cross when Jesus was pierced in the side. That's where you came from. Is everybody with me? Good. Now go to Hebrews 5. So you see here that they were put under what? Guardians and what? Stewards, weren't they? For what? Training. For training. So first you are a child of God. And you must never lose sight of that. That you are a child of the Most High God. In Hebrews chapter 5. So there was no qualifications for being a child, huh? Just an acceptance. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, because so many people try to skip their training and try and, you know, skip the steps and whatever. Paul writes this letter. And I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. But anyways, that's my belief in there. In verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. These are backsliders. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There have been those who have grown and have gone back to becoming babes again. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let me tell you, there are believers that are 20 and 30 years believers, and they needed to go back to get milk again because they're trying to do a second floor ministry with a busted up foundation. It was never completed yet. Why? Because they skipped too many steps. And they're out trying to do ministry, and God isn't promoting them, and they get frustrated and all kinds of other things, and some of them even quit. Because they weren't willing to do whatever it takes. And we are at a serious time right now where God is not going to let people go out and just minister and do things that they want to do without fulfilling that foundation, no matter what. You're going to find more and more ministries and things crumble. More people fall. More people backslide. So what happens is sometimes, Paul was writing this letter and he says, listen, man, you need to go back again now. Here, you should have been teachers by now. You should have been walking in your calling. But no, you chose to try to skip the training and minister on a third floor level with a first floor foundation. And it crumbled. Backsliders. They have to backslide. Why? To fulfill the foundation. And if they're not willing to fulfill the foundation, they will never fulfill the call, the full purpose of their call. Skipping training, fell back, needing foundational milk again. And what happens then is that, now don't be offended or anything, praise God. It brings a burden on the body of Christ to repair the breach. Taking time for these needing, and it takes away the time for those who are needing salvation. Now we've got to take the time to heal those who keep backsliding. That's why God said you must choose your battles now. It's very important. The Lord said to me the other day, choose your battles, guy. Only the ones that are in. Only the ones that are in. The ones that are out, let go. I'm going to remove them. I'm going to take care of it. You must make a decision. You are in no matter what the cost is. If you have any doubt whatsoever, if you're still teeter-tottering, you're out. There is no teeter-totter. You're either in or you're not. The other day, I woke up and I called David. I shared, David, make sure the Lord just put on my heart, make sure that these battles, you're choosing the battles and so forth. And I shared with him, I said, the Lord put on my heart that things are changing. There's a whole shift in the spirit now. God is getting really serious because he's coming soon. When I shared about the ones that are in, or the ones that were to take care of and minister, the ones that are out, let go. Don't worry about it. That day, two people came home and packed up and left out of the program. Plus other things are happening. I'm telling you, it's powerful. This morning, I'm just going to share with you what's going on. This morning, when I got up, and I just knew that there was something going on in the spirit. And I got approached this morning with two people who had dreams. And it was powerful. Then I got approached with an interpretation with somebody that was a psalm that needed to be interpreted. And it all worked together. And I'm going to tell you it all in a simple scenario. Jesus is coming soon. And the enemy is attacking in every way he can. And there are three floods coming. Three big waves of attack coming. And if you're not in the spirit, that last wave will destroy you. It's the flood of the enemy. If you're not where you're supposed to be and fulfilling your call, the only way you're going to be protected is by fulfilling your call. I didn't say fulfilled. Hello? I'm saying fulfilling. In other words, what God's training you for and everything else. Jesus is coming soon. Coming soon. And you've got to be armed and dangerous. Let me tell you, when I get three things in one day that come to me, I know it's very, very, very serious. When the Lord has to get my attention to three things in one day, besides what he tells me himself, I know things are very serious right now. Very serious. So you need to hold on. You need to fight. Don't let go no matter what. Don't be swayed no matter what's going on. Why? Because behind every circumstance is the favor of God. You fight till you get through. No matter what. You fight till you get through. Stay in position. And I'm going to tell you this. Remember, there's going to be an attack, there's going to be a big attack, and then there's going to be a bigger attack. But the battle's already been won by the Lord. As long as you're in position, you got nothing to worry about. As long as you can hear, as long as you're under covered, so that you can be led, you're all right. But if you're not, you're in trouble. Hello? Go to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, please. Oh, I'd love to tell you about all of those dreams. Whew, they're powerful. But we don't have time. I can only tell you that they're awesome. And then God is very good in warning us and telling us. I'm telling you, when three people approach you with three different things and everything coordinates together and makes the full picture, hallelujah, hold on. In Romans 11 and verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In other words, they've been predestined for you. Nobody can take them unless you give them away. But see, if you're not walking in your calling, then the gifts are not available. Are you with me? So the gifts in the calling of God are irrevocable. In other words, they coordinate together. Does everybody get it? They coordinate together. Now look at it. It says, for you were once disobedient to God. Now I want you to understand it. He begins to talk about Israel and about the problems that the Jews went through and their disobedience so that they could learn from them. So that mercy could go on those who had forsaken the law from the Old Testament, and into the New Testament, God would show mercy. So he says, for you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? For who has become his counselor? Or who has first given him? And it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him all things are all things, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, so we see the gifts and the calling are for all. Again, I was sharing with you that you're speaking about Israel, but I want to utilize it something right now, and a coordination between the gifts and calling. There are nine spiritual gifts. Nine spiritual gifts. Do we need to go over them? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. There are nine spiritual gifts. Start at verse 7. These are nine spiritual gifts. In verse 7 it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. These are the nine gifts of the Spirit. And he said that these are associated with calling. Well, the calling and the gifts. Well, I want you to understand that there's nine functions in your calling that you must know about. Not only there are nine gifts that are associated with your calling, but there are nine functions in your calling that you must fulfill and know about. And we're going to talk about some of them. In John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Start at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, don't reject your pruning. Get squeezed so you can bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my what? Your first function is to be a disciple. Your function as a disciple for what? To bear fruit which gives glory to the Father. Does everybody get it? That is your first function. Being a child is not a function. Does everybody get it? This is your first function, is to be a disciple. So what is he asking you to do? Abide in him. Abide in his word. He's saying you can't do anything without me. You must get that. You can't do nothing without him. Nothing. He is divine, right? And we are the branches. In other words, he is our source to everything, no matter what. So your first function is the function as a disciple. And that's one who is learning, one who's being taught, one who's being trained. It's about training. Jesus had disciples. They were his followers, weren't they? They were being what? Trained. Amen? Praise God. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Nine functions of your calling. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, these are two functions, but the king function isn't yet. This is called to be a king and a priest. But the second function you must function in right now is called priesthood. You must function as a priest. Now, what does a priest do? A priest ministers to the Lord. And how does he do that? By praise and worship. In other words, he's learning how to get in the presence of God by worship, prayer, and praise. You must learn how to get in the presence of God. If you haven't learned how to get in the presence of God, you will never fulfill your call. That's a part of the function of your call. Learning how to get in God's presence. Are you with me? Praise God. The ultimate goal, of course, is to fulfill kingship. But we'll talk about this later. And now we have a couple teachings you can always pick up to help you with this. It's called Priests Before Warriors and Kingly Anointing 1 and 2, which I'll help explain a little bit more, but we can't go there tonight. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody understanding what's going on? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verses 1 and 2, I guess. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So, we've shared a little bit about this already. The third function is to be a servant of the anointing. The third function is to be a servant of the anointing. Now, I want you to understand something. You are serving the anointing of Christ. In other words, representation of the Holy Spirit. But you're serving the anointing. The anointing is not serving you. You are a servant of the anointing. The anointing is not serving you. You're serving the anointing. Do you understand that? And by serving the anointing, in other words, that means you're yielding to the anointing. and he's flowing through you. See, so many people want the anointing to serve them. And it don't work that way. That's not how my dad flows. You serve the anointing, and he flows through you. Because without the anointing, you are nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing but a bag of religion. Without the anointing, you're nothing. Amen? Y'all understand that? So he said that we are to be servants of the anointing. In other words, you serve the anointing. Amen? The anointing is a representation of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Amen? Praise God. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I love this. This is powerful. This really exposes so much stuff. See, the anointing, it says he who's in Christ means anointing. You're in the anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, go to verse 18. Read it with me. Little children, it is the last hour. Are we in the last hour? Man, I'm telling you, we're in the last minute. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Antichrists are coming against the anointing. Do you understand that? They're coming against the anointing. In fact, I don't know how I can put this. There are individuals that are coming against the anointing and not even knowing it. Because they're trying to get the anointing to serve them instead of them serve the anointing. That's associated with the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because it's trying to cause the anointing to serve them. It's coming against the anointing. Do you understand this? Instead of serving the anointing. Everybody get this? We are to serve the anointing. In other words, you're to serve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't serve you. Does everybody get it? Now, does he bring you everything? Yes. But as you serve him, does he bring stuff? Does everybody, in other words, he distributes. But he is not your servant. You're his servant. Let's go a little further. 19. It says that they went out from us. But if they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Why would they have continued with us? Because they would have been serving the anointing. Well, it happened. Well, they picked up the Antichrist coming against the anointing. Remember, your call, your function to fulfill call, there's 9 functions in fulfilling your call. And he said, you first must fulfill priesthood. What does a priest do? He learns how to get in to the presence of God because he's ministering to the Lord. He learns how to praise and worship. When people fall away from praising and worship, you know what they've touched and agreed with? The Antichrist spirit. And I'm not talking about the persons that got labeled on them 666, all right? He's called the prince of power of air. He's called the spirit of this world. So when you find yourself coming against praise and worship, you've touched and agreeing with the Antichrist spirit. Why? Because you're coming against the anointing. Do you understand? I mean, I'm not saying anything. No, but you're supposed to be serving the anointing. If you're not serving the anointing, you're rejecting the anointing. And you're associated with the spirit of Antichrist. And he's also associated with the spirit of error. Because the devil does not want you to know how to get in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, he can't touch you. In fact, he gets exposed. That's why when anointing gets strong, especially in the services, either people are going to get freed up and healed and fight because those demons are exposed, or they're going to take the demons with them. Hello? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 20. Did we finish 19? Well, then let's start from 19. And they went out from us, but if they were not of us, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Wow. That none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. All things. All things pertaining to what? Godly living. All things pertaining to what? Decisions that you must make. I'm telling you what, I get calls many times of individuals that have left or whatever, gone to places and whatever, and didn't fulfill what they were supposed to do. Didn't get sent to, chose to leave, and they went out and ate dirt and whatever and so forth. And I get calls from some of them, and the Lord, and I, as I'm talking with them, because I know I can sense the spirit of manipulation, you know, because they won't come out and say, hey, man, I'm really messed up in this end. I'm asking for your forgiveness, and can I come back? But there's other manipulation involved and so forth. And when the Lord shared with me, now I knew this was the enemy, and because when the Lord shared with me, know only the ones that are in. And I said, okay. And there are the ones that are out. They'll drain you. And we don't have time for games anymore. I don't have time for soulishness. You're either in or you're out. That's it. No more foolishness. And I had a call today from a gentleman and that had been here 3 or 4 times already and you know, shared some stuff. And then I had to go and he called back and he said, so should I start walking over there on my way there? I said, no. I don't have a bed for you. And of course the enemy tries to go, well, that wasn't Christ-like and, you know, whatever, this, that, whatever. And then the Holy Spirit gave me a vision. And I saw the Lord standing there with the woman and said, go and sin no more. Do you remember when he told the woman, go sin no more or worse thing come upon you? That's where God is at right now. That's what's happening right now. He's saying, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. We are that's where we're at right now. He is not playing games. There's an urgency. An urgency. Why? Because there's so many warriors that have been buried alive that he wants to dig up. That are willing. They're already in, but they've just been buried. And their armor is waiting for them. And once we dig them up and pull that coffin, that gold armor is right there. So they can get dressed and become warriors, because those are third dimensional warriors that God's going to raise from the dead. That's where we're at right now. That's who you are. You were buried alive. And by his grace and his mercy, you were dug up. And your armor has been waiting for you the whole time. And now he's fitting you in and he's training you for it. Your front runners are the return of the Lord. And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Oh, hallelujah. All things, all things. We know all things, don't we? Amen. Go to verse 27. Would you read it with me? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So you know all things pertaining to godly living, things that are happening, decisions. Those are, and then mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. Ooh. Anointing teaches you through his word, through his servants, and through your experiences. He teaches you. In Ephesians chapter 3, your fourth function. Ephesians chapter 3. Start at verse 1, please. Ephesians 3. Yes. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you had heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the what? Mystery, as I have briefly written already. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, or the anointing. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. The fourth function is to be stewards of the mysteries of God. You are stewards of the mysteries of God. And the only way that these mysteries are going to be revealed to you is by being in the anointing. That's what the mysteries are. Why? Because as the Bible just said, in the anointing, you have the anointing that you know all things. The anointing is going to teach you through His Word, through His servants, and through your experiences. Your fifth function is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Oh, good, good, good. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. So we are ministers of the new covenant. In other words, you are ministers of the Spirit. You're not only servants to the anointing, but see, now you are ministers of the Spirit, because as you serve the anointing flows through you. Why? Because you're fulfilling the word that says you are ministers of the new covenant, because the Spirit gives life. 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 People need life. Is healing a part of life? Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. But people are not fulfilling their call. Because you must fulfill all these functions. It's a part of your call. Are you with me? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Are you in or out? You know you're going to be tested, right? Good. Praise God. Some of you got tested before you got here, didn't you? Where are you going to be tested when you get out here, too? I can tell you that. Hallelujah. So count it all joy. Amen. It's a part of your training. You're training for reigning. You have to fulfill those functions. How else are you going to do it? Right? Would you read 18 with me, please? Now, all things are of God. All things are, let me say all things. All of these trials and testings are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Your sixth function is to be ambassadors of Christ. As a ministry of reconciliation to whom? In other words, let me explain what an ambassador does. There are ambassadors of nations. You are an ambassador of a kingdom. What are you doing? You're pleading with others to become part of your kingdom, to be reconciled to God. So you are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, not of a carnal nation, but of an eternal kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, Acts 1 verse 8, would you read it with me? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Wow. Go to chapter 22. Acts 22. You shall be what? Witnesses. Your seventh function is to be a witness of what? His power. Acts 22. Start at verse 6. Acts 22, verse 6. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus, and he's talking about Saul, who had letters to go collect all those who were following Jesus and throw them in dungeons, feed them to lions, and kill them. He was part of the Pharisee tribe. His father was a Pharisee, and all of his families and so forth, they were high in the religion stuff, you know. And Paul wanted to be an upright individual with his family and thought he was doing the things of God. So he was going out killing believers. But he thought he was doing the things of God. But he wasn't fulfilling his call, was he? Jesus had to come by and give him a Holy Ghost kick off his horse. And now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus, and about noon suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into the Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed to you. And since I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. And then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers who has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. You are his witness now. That is the seventh function. Go to Mark 16. Everybody ought to know this pretty well. Mark 16. In verse 16, something like that. Yeah. Y'all there? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. What's the word believe mean? Follow. In other words, you're a witness now. And in my name they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. That's a witness. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. Why? You're manifesting the kingdom of God, aren't you? That's a witness. What? They have power and dominion. It's a witness. People want to see the witness of Christ. They want to see the witness of the anointing. They want to see. So many people you come across every single day that need to have the witness of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is your eighth function. 2 Timothy chapter 2, start at verse 1. Is everybody there? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me share something with you. Hardship is a part of your training. Why? Because you didn't get what you wanted. God begins to put things, causes things in your life so you're not getting what you wanted. But I've been praying. You're not getting it until you die. Why? You must fulfill the function. It's part of your training. Hardship. Suffering. It's a part of your training. Believe me, that's why the Bible says when you come to Jesus, right? It says that the path of walking right is narrow and difficult. But the path to darkness is wide and broad. It's amazing how people never really read that part. When they come to Jesus, they just think everything's going to be taken care of, and they got a free ticket out of hell. Coming to Jesus is not a free ticket out of hell. That's religion. The Bible says you must work out your own salvation. He said only those who do the will of the Father enter into heaven. Accepting Jesus is not a... It blows my mind. Oh, man, hey, come on, accept Jesus and you won't go to hell. That's not what it's about. It's a part of the benefit. Jesus is more than just rescuing people from hell. He's there to have a relationship. He wants you to know Him and abide in Him and have fellowship with Him and love Him and receive His love. To hear His voice, to know His touch, to sense His compassion. That you could be His hands and His feet and His mouth. That you can be just like Him. Just when that woman was talking to me today, when the Lord said to me, tell her, I've been waiting for her. Had nothing to do with me, it was Him. That's in me. That's in you. See, you can't allow yourself to get in the way of God. You need to get self behind you. Let the compassion and love of Christ flow through you. If you serve the anointing will go. The anointing doesn't serve you. In verse 3, would you read it with me? You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Your eighth function is a soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Ooh, cool. So you are a soldier. In other words, you must endure. You are involved now and engaged in warfare, spiritual warfare. Remember, every warrior endures hardship. Go to 1 Pete, chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, there's going to be a time when you're going to be very grateful you endured. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it now. But when the things begin to happen, and you're going to know what to do, and you're going to know His voice, and you're going to know His unction, and you're going to know how to fight, and you're going to know how to dig, and you're going to know how to cast out devils, you're going to lay hands on the sick, and you're going to be available for the anointing of Christ to flow through you because you're a servant of the anointing, you're going to be very grateful that you did. When others who've played church, who've rejected the presence of God, who only try to use God for blessings. And when the things begin to happen and the walls start coming down and people who are in all kinds of churches and fellowships are not going to know where to go or know what to do, you will. And you will lead many home. You will lead many home. Stand strong. It's coming soon. Oh, hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, would you read it with me? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may what? Exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why? So you are immovable. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And go to Proverbs 8. And your ninth function, glory. Your ninth function, of course, is kingship. Proverbs 8 and verse 12. By you get to the ninth function, you better have some good wisdom and knowledge and understanding, I'm going to tell you. Favor and everything will be with you. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign. Say it again. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. That's kingship. And I'm going to close at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what allows you to be a king. Amen? Everybody all right? You get it? Nine functions. Those are nine functions in your calling. That's a part of your calling. These are nine functions in there. You must understand the reason why you were called is to bring glory to his name. And you must maintain a worthiness of this call. Get ready. Get ready. And get ready. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, I pray right now that the seed that has been parted will be covered by the blood. And that you would give everyone in here tonight the wisdom and knowledge. Quicken them to the sword, that they may sever the hand of the enemy to try and steal any of these seeds. Prepare them for any attack. For you've already paid the price for each and every one of us. And we have victory in Jesus. Lord, let us not skip any steps, but walk according to your training, that we may be prepared in the day for battle. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.